Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about graduation day. From a spiritual point of view, we'll let Wild Bill explain in a minute. And just a reminder, if you're with us for the first time, just press 1 on your keypad, and I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your phone number. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. How are you doing today?
I'm just fine. You sound far away.
Do I sound closer now?
Did you have to run to the phone?
I was far, far away. Make me a bird so I can fly far, far away.
So tell us about graduation day.
Well, I graduated in 1977 at the Jesus Name Christian School. No,
oh, boy.
Just playing. It was really funny. I had something else planned for tonight's show, and I was getting on Facebook, and I saw some of the things people had posted, and I was thinking about how different things were going along in my life today. And then we got some neighbors that go to our church, and they got some family members that go to church sometimes, but they're not really in church, so to speak, and they were having troubles and storms that I guess you could say over at their house today, and they had asked me to go over to speak to a young man that he suffers from a form of depression where he cuts on himself, and that's not one of those things I know a lot about. I know that people do that for attention, and they also do it because it's a release, and I don't actually understand how that gets to be a release, but it is. And it just hit me as a flood about, you know, we talk over and over about the process, and I want to thank Joy for really pointing that out to me, that we all go through process. But it never had dawned on me before, and I'm a little slower than some of the rest of you, I'm not ashamed to admit it, how this life is like our class. This is what we're studying life. We're going through, we have decisions to make, and I know with our children, when they were going to actual school, I was not real firm on making them do their homework. It was just one of those things that I wanted to trust them to take care of it, and then wanted to just act like I was just totally blown away and shocked every time I got a report card, and there it was again, the assignments not turned in, and, you know, grades were not so good, and, you know, and then you want to come down like, hey, what's going on here? And, you know, but, you know, it's a little late at that point. But when you're in school, you can always do makeup tests and all those different things. And it just hit me, whether you look at the rapture or you look at when we leave this world, it was meant to be a graduation day. It was meant to be a blessed time, meant to be something to look forward to. And I know that sounds really retarded, but when you realize that, you know, we sing all these songs at church that this world's not my home, I'm just a passing through, and we're strangers, you know, in this land. This is not our home. We're separate people and a chosen people, and we go through all these things talking about that. And then when it gets right down to it, we want to hang on to this life here with all that we have within us. And I know that some of that's natural, and I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. But when that day comes, I'll tell you a little story here, and Brother Shiel probably won't mind me sharing this, but at the end of Christian school, when it was getting close to my time for graduation, I had several typing assignments that I hadn't done. And I really wasn't too worried about it because we had already sent out all the invitations for everyone to come to graduation. We're going to have this big ceremony. And I was the only graduate that year. Matter of fact, I was the first graduate from their Christian school. So I didn't really think they were going to, you know, cancel graduation. And Brother Shiel told me, I guess it was probably, I don't know, 2 weeks before time for graduation, that he was going to let me go through the ceremony, but I was going to have an empty diploma case until I got that typing done. And you talk about a boy getting there and burning up a keyboard. I mean, I was burning up a keyboard. But when you get to thinking about the graduation day from this world, you know, where we look at that, you know, everything is set up in our life for being able to be with Jesus. And I got to thinking about, you know, how we sort of, like I did with my children with school, we didn't really come down on them too hard. We didn't really emphasize, you know, how important it was to study for school and things like that. And I got to thinking about how we sort of do the same, or I sort of do the same thing in my spiritual life. You know, I know there's people that are not going to church, and I know there's people that's going through, you know, different issues in their life where they've put God second and on the back burner of what's going on in your life. But then, you know, you get to thinking about the consequences of this graduation day. For those that don't graduate, it's not going to be an empty diploma case. I mean, just think about it. It's not going to be, oh, darn, I flunked this class. I got to go take it again. It's over. It's done. It's finished. And, you know, the Bible talks about that everyone, great and small, their life is going to be played out for everyone to see. And I know some people don't believe that's quite literal. But I knew when I was brought up as a child that that was one of those things I pictured in my mind. I didn't actually understand how it would work. But it was clear that great and small, that nothing was going to be hidden at that point. Everything was going to be exposed. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of put it out where, you know, well, sin's going to be covered under blood. So is that going to be like blank spots in the video or something like that? But then, you know, I was thinking today, some of those things has made me a better person from where I've went through part of that process. And so will it not be all exposed to let me see the clear picture of what my life has been? And really, I don't know, and I don't know if anyone that's listening has a clear picture of that. But when we really look at it, you know, I had an English teacher one time that I really had a hard time understanding. It was just like I was on a different planet or was from a different country or something. I just could not understand what that person was trying to tell me. I just couldn't get it in my peanut what I was supposed to do. And so I had a lot of struggles and things that were hard for me in that class. And I've had other teachers where you had to listen to what they said in class because when it came time for test, you couldn't read the chapter and pass that test because they had covered things from their own viewpoints, went totally around the world with the topic to a different area, and so you weren't quite there. And so when it came time for the test, I had no excuse to say, I read the chapter. I knew everything that was in the book, you know, but I just couldn't pass your test. It didn't matter because they would always come back and say, I gave you, if you'd listened and took notes on everything I said, all the answers were there. And I was thinking how that people, you know, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of God. And we all want to think that we're right. You know, I don't think anyone's going to stand up and say, I'm wrong. Look at me, I'm wrong. Hey, hoo-hoo, I'm the one who's wrong. We all want to believe that we're right. And when it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter what our perception of what it is. It is what it is. And I mean, you say, well, that doesn't take rocket science. It is what it is. But what I'm trying to say is that when people, we go in to the Word of God, and I see people do it day in and day out. They'll say, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. And they'll point to a scripture in the Bible and say, I don't believe that. And I just think they're thinking, wow, you know, I'm not the brightest guy out here, but I'm not going to point at something in the Bible, God's word, the roadmap of what I have to go on and put my faith in to believe for my salvation and say, I don't believe that. Because come graduation day, I've either applied that to my life or I'm lost. It's over forever and ever and ever. And when you think about loved ones that you know, that they've taken certain things of God's word, that maybe one time in their life it was real, it was true to them, and they were like, well, yeah, I did that. I know that, but I just don't believe that anymore. And you know, what do you do about it? And we had a fantastic Sunday school lesson this last Sunday, and it just brought it down home that there's not anything that you can say, there's not, you can't physically go and do anything to anybody. But you can, we've talked about this before, but you can pray for people. And I don't mean like, Lord, lay me down to sleep, kind of remember Aunt so-and-so and cousin so-and-so, and, you know, remember my neighbors, and thank you, Lord, I'm going to sleep, bye. You know, I mean, it just, I'm talking about having a burden to realize, because I don't know what you see out there in this world, but it is getting so corrupt. It is getting so that everything is all about the almighty dollar. And I knew that from when I was in law enforcement that, you know, it was very important that there was certain money that came in. There was federal funds that we used to get, that because the federal government had to cut back, those funds had to be made. There had to be some way to put gas in those police cars. You got to run a jail. It takes training to stay out there on the streets. There's always things being updated and upgraded, and nothing stays the same, and things cost money, and I'm aware of that. But when you get to thinking about your graduation day, just how serious do you take that? Is it just one of those things like, you know, oh, well, it's just one of those things, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll study tomorrow, or, you know I got this homework I got to do, but, you know, they're not going to leave me out. I'm the only senior. They got to have graduation with me there, so they're going to have to do something. But, you know, I'm kind of making light of this a little bit, but I'm hoping that somewhere that you can just stop and think a minute and just visualize in your head that all of a sudden, you know, it says no man knows the day, no man knows the hour, but just say 5 minutes from now it happened. You know, everyone is their best judge of themselves. You know, are we applying everything that we should in our life? Because I know that, and I say everyone's their own judge, I knew when they put that test down in front of me and I scanned down through there like, uh-oh, I didn't study, and this one's not one I can just kind of work my way through. It's not multiple choice. Uh-oh, it's not true or false. You know, I got to put an answer down. I got to know what I'm talking about here. And if we've not applied those things to our life, I don't know. I didn't mean to ramble along so long with this. And I'm sure some of you have some thoughts on where I'm trying to go with this. And I'd appreciate just anyone that's got a comment or a scripture or something they'd like to add to, if they would, just go ahead and push one. And Starla will identify you and put you on, because this is not about just Bill rambling about graduation day and what's going on in my life today. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I believe there'd be some people running around naked if there wasn't some laws to stop them, because the things I see people wearing, they might as well be. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. And we're not talking about something, I mean, there's some things that people can wear that's kind of stylish and revealing a little bit and maybe just a little provocative or something. I'm talking about people that they couldn't wear enough clothes to look good. It's running around so exposed that you would think that somewhere along the way there would be embarrassment. And these people are looking like they think they are the cat's meow. And for those of you that didn't know my dad, you probably never heard that phrase before. But it's people are just so nonchalant. And I know within myself, you know, a lot of times you go to church and you walk in the door and they sing a couple of songs, they take up offering, there's prayer requests, and they do the announcements, and the preacher talks for a little bit, and then everybody kind of visits with everybody, and then you go on about your business. But is that really what it's all about? And I'm not trying to point fingers at people that don't go to church at all. What I'm, you know, wanting is people that actually go to church and people that want to have a relationship with God, and they feel like that they're doing things in their life to live for God. Are we really looking at the end of time as it really is? And only you can answer that, and maybe you are. You know, do we have a sense of excitement? Do we have a sense of dread because we know we have lost loved ones? Do we have a sense of dread because there's some things in our own personal life that we wonder if we've really done what we're supposed to do? And if you really stop to think about it, you know that you're really not doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool yourself. If you really want to look at things how they are, that's where the rubber meets the road. And when you get right down to it, are you thinking that come graduation day you're going to have an empty diploma like I did? Or are you thinking that everything is in a good relationship between you and God? Are you taking all the scripture and you're applying it to your life and not saying, I'll take one from column A, two from column B, and C, not having none of that? You know, it's just, I'm not going to do it. Anyway, I've rattled along here, and nobody's raising their hand. You guys are making me feel like I'm the only one out here. Is anyone out there, Starla? Am I all by myself tonight? I guess I am. Starla's not even going to answer me.
No, you're all alone. No, Blog Talk Mom's there, and Joy Bell's there. You guys, raise your hand.
Nobody wants to talk to me tonight. They want me to talk for the whole show.
We want to hear from you.
I would love to. I couldn't figure out the right button to push one on this. Sorry about that. The whole screen goes black, and if I push the wrong button, then I'm totally off. But while Bill, I am enjoying the program, and Sister Starla, you really made full circle while Bill with what you were saying, because you said it from every angle. You know, we all want to do our very best for God, and we do want to be able to stand the test in this life, and then when we face him, when he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," we know he's not going to exaggerate, lie, or, you know, we're going to either be that or not. And there's just a lot of different views. One thing that really interested me was you speaking about the young man that now there's a lot of, I don't know about a lot, but there are children, young people that stab themselves, cut themselves, do things like that. And we had a 13 or 14-year-old young man start to school, second week of school, first or second week. He killed himself this last week. And people were saying, well, you know, what kind of a burden or what kind of a pain could a 13-year-old feel like it was so hopeless? But there's a lot. It is unique. Back to the snowflake. Every snowflake is different. I can't be like you. You can't be like me because we are different. We're going to approach eternity and the things of God from totally different perspectives. Some people are, because of their internal makeup, they are just positive people. They see, they can just, like the little story about the little boy that was pretty long story, but anyway, I'll say it briefly, that he was just totally positive. His other little brother was negative, and they were testing him out. The little negative boy, just no matter what they gave him, it was the wrong color, it was the wrong wrapped, wrong, whatever. So they decided the little boy that was so positive that they gave him this enormous, huge area that was covered in horse manure. And he went in there, and he just started laughing and digging and throwing it to the side. And they said, "What in the world?" He said, "With all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony somewhere." You know, I mean, there are just some people that can just see the good and have hope, and then there's those that cannot. And the ones that begin to hurt themselves, I believe it's a panic anxiety where they have not ever seen where there's been justice. They really don't believe there will ever be justice and that they'll always lose no matter what effort they put into anything. And what you brought out so beautifully about graduation day, you can graduate. You can, you may not be the top in everything, but you can do, you know, work hard and apply yourself and be able to strengthen what you can do well. And I could always, do some things extremely well, and then I had tremendous limitations in other areas. And as you mature, after you get out of school, then you begin to mature, you begin to realize that, and you're not as hard on yourself or other people. You know, you just live and let live. But with God, the greatest thing, because we had after this little boy committed suicide this week, a lot of people had comments to make Sunday morning. And they were talking about the negative things and how people dress and how young people in their 8, 9 years old coming in and buying the type of clothes and makeup that much, much more mature person would buy, and they are not mature enough, emotionally mature, to be able to handle that kind of pressure. And you know, everybody wasn't real negative, but I was sitting there, and I never did say anything because it was getting closer to time to start the actual lesson. But I really, in my heart, wanted to jump up and said, I just want to say, I was there. Y'all, I was there. I can see as much nakedness as anybody. I can see as much craziness as the rest of you guys, but I was there. I remember. I really remember. You and Ron were not here yet, and I can remember being, I would look in the mirror and say, if everybody is as crazy as you are, I'm talking to myself, I said, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And the time that I attempted suicide, and I was in the hospital, and nobody treated me right. I mean, they worked hard for me, which is probably what I needed. But, you know, they were slurring. The only thing that helped me, the mercy of God, and I was sort of cute, and a couple of the interns, they decided that they was going to be nice to me. And I do appreciate that. But my point is that we all are going to face such heartaches. And so we as Christians, the flag of love, you know, that's what we must let everyone know, that God loves them. And I, somebody's beeping, and so I'll turn it back over to y'all. But I do have a poem, a little poem that's familiar to you that you might want me to read later on.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things, you know, you talk about suicide and things that go along with that is that when I was in law enforcement, we had an accident happen where a bunch of kids were in a car, and probably everyone on this show has heard me tell that story about, you know, some of the kids were killed and some of them were maimed, and it seemed like the kid that was the one that was the bad egg that was with the bunch, he came out of it the best, and you try to figure out how this one person got in this car with these other kids, and you think about peer pressure and things. But when it goes, when you really take a look at everything, you know, you can't place blame. Everyone was looking for someone to blame. They wanted to blame the police department for not being, you know, more firm with the kids around town. And, you know, they wanted to blame the church, and they wanted to blame society, and they wanted to blame, because as parents, they were hurting, and they didn't want to look into what was going on in their home situation. They didn't want to look at what was going on with their child and think, well, did I listen? And you don't want to look and see, you know, was I being the example I needed to be? Was I being a spiritual leader in my home? Was I showing my children what the right way and the wrong way to live, and dividing God's word in my home and everything? Or was I just, you know, having that part of my life when I was at church and maybe in discussion with my wife, but kind of left the kids off to the side, letting them do their own thing? And then when everything goes wrong, you want to turn out and just want to blame somebody else, because you can't handle the possibility that I do something wrong. And we've talked about this before, just because things happen like that that are bad, it doesn't always mean that somebody did something wrong. I mean, there's going to be car accidents, there's going to be crime that happens to where innocent victims are hurt. Those things are just happening. It's not because someone did something wrong because they get cancer and or a tornado come and blows away their house with them in it. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing to want to not just place blame, but then want to get in this judging game to, well, I'm going to apply this to that. I remember in the small area where I lived that there were several churches that were destroyed in this town of Cabot, Arkansas. And I can remember how we were kind of joking about it because there were churches of a faith that wasn't ours that was damaged in the storm. And, you know, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And I know we had someone, I think it was on this show, or maybe I heard about it somewhere else, where they stood up and went to someone's house that was in the path of a tornado and walked out on the porch and rebuked that tornado in the name of Jesus. And the radar actually picked it up where this tornado came to a stop, made a right turn, went to the next intersection, turned again, made another right turn, and then it went right directly back into the path it was in. And I believe those things happen when people have faith and they believe that they can do those things. Faith, I believe, is the only thing that limits us from being able to get God's power set forth in action in our lives. But, you know, it's just, we are such a people that we want to judge everybody else, but we don't want to be judged. And we don't even want to judge ourselves. But I think we're getting to a time to where we got to quit looking at everything going on around us. I heard a beautiful message not long ago by a preacher who's known mostly for working with youth. But he was talking about when Jesus came out to the disciples in the storm in the boat. And, you know, I don't know about you, but there's something about deep water at night. It scares me. I don't know what it is about it, but You know, people talk about how romantic it is to walk along the seawalls or along the ocean at night. And I don't know, maybe I watched too many horror movies or read too many science fiction books or something when I was a kid. But it's already dark outside. You can only see from the lights reflecting on the water so far out. And that water to me just looks so deep and like there's something there that could just come up any moment and snatch me up if I'm not paying attention. And so I'm not one of those people that just, you know, an ocean is not one of those things that's real romantic to me. But can you imagine being out there and a storm come up and it's blowing you all around and all of a sudden here comes Jesus walking on the water? I don't think they'd ever seen anybody walk on the water before, and I probably would have just flopped over dead with a heart attack if that had been me. It don't matter who would have been walking that way. And, you know, Peter just kind of hollers out, you know, Lord, is that you? And I'm sure it wasn't, you know, might have had a little squeak to, Jesus, is that you? You know, he might not have been real brave on the whole thing there either. But, you know, he stepped out there and walked. But when he got to looking at everything around him, he sank. But he was walking on water. And, you know, to be in a storm, to be in a boat and everything, it just, I can't imagine the fear that was going through their minds at that point. I bet you probably couldn't have put a radar gun on your heart. It was probably beating so hard. But what this preacher said the other night was, and I never had heard it put this way, was that Jesus walks on what we fear. And when you really stop and think about that, that there's nothing that can come our way that God has not said, okay, you can take this. Because he's already said he's not going to put more on us than what we can bear. And he's always made it clear that he paid the price for our salvation. The victory has been won not through ourselves, but through him, through his grace, through his love, through his shedding of blood. It's not anything we've done. And yet we want to get this, you know, sometimes high and mighty about, man, I prayed at the altar and I just feel so good and everything. Did you notice Sister Lyle was kind of sitting back there at the back? Didn't seem like she really got involved in the service there. And I mean, just little things like that. It's just we have a tendency to want to feel superior when we have things like that. Although you don't hear Peter getting back in the boat and saying, woohoo, I got to walk on the water a little bit. Of course, he was probably still trying to pump all the water out of his lungs from when he looked away from Jesus and he started to sink. And Jesus had to pull him back up. But can you just stop and think a moment about there's nothing that we need to fear because God walks on what we fear. You know, it doesn't matter if it's defying the fact that water is a liquid, it's not solid, that it cannot carry mass and weight of a person walking on it, because Jesus just said, I'm walking on water, and he did. And not just that, but he spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. And not just did the wind and the rain stop, but the waves went calm. I mean, you got a sea that's being moved there, and I've been told it's kind of like a train. You know, you can hit the brakes on a train, but it takes a long time for it to quit moving. It takes a lot of distance there. And when you get a body of water moving, when the weather breaks and the sun comes out on a natural, you know, just weather has changed, it takes a long time before the water quits crashing up against the shore from where the waves have been stirred up and before the crest is out there that makes small boats and everything too dangerous for people to be out there if you're not in a pretty good-sized boat. But when Jesus speaks to the storm, everything is peace. And I was thinking about the young man next door. If he only knew that all he had to do was cry out to Jesus. You know, I don't know what it is that caused this to happen with him. I don't know what it is that makes him have a release with cutting himself. I know that tonight the police came and they put him on a suicide watch in a hospital because he'd cut himself pretty deep. And that doesn't help his family, and it's not helping him. And he made a comment here, you know, not long ago. He said he wasn't even sure he believed there was a God. And this is a person that's came to church and made comments before about he's felt God in his life. and where he saw his wife, which had addiction in her life, God came in and took that addiction away and gave her health that she had never had before and gave her such a strong mind to not allow those things to come in again that when she went to the dentist, they wanted to give her some pain medicine after she had had her treatment, and she said no because she knew she had an addictive personality and she couldn't go back in that direction again. And there's a spiritual warfare that is going on whether we like it or not. Whether we decide to take part in the battle, there's a real enemy out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's it. That's what he wants to do where mankind is concerned, and that's his agenda to do that. He still thinks he's going to win, and we're God's creation. We're the pearl of his eye, and he's going to go out there and do everything he can to be destructive to our lives. He's going to try to make sure that come graduation day that we're going to have an empty diploma case. That's his goal. He does not want anyone to make it. He wants to steal the things that God has given to us and take it away. He wants us to believe a lie and to be damned. He wants it to be to where we want to divide the things in God's word that causes us to have change. And we say, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't have to. I'm a smart person. I can tell what's right and wrong. You don't have to tell me that, you know, I have to do these strange things here that you read about in the Bible. You know, so what if there was 120 of them on the day of Pentecost that was up in this upper room and they had that experience? It doesn't mean that I have to have that in my life. You know, so what if that's meant to make me an overcomer? Maybe I'm not meant to be an overcomer. We can sit here, we can just take these things and let Satan rob from us the things that was meant to give us joy and meant to give us victory and meant to give us strength. And to be an overcomer, to really stop and think about that I can overcome the obstacles that come in my way, to understand that there's a spiritual warfare, and God let us know that we know not to look at these things to handle them carnally, but yet we want to stand up and be heard. I know in myself, when people confront me, I want my opinion to be heard. I want to stand up instead of just standing off to the side being meek and saying, God, take care of this for me, please. I don't know what's caused this situation. I don't know what's causing this storm to come my way. But Lord, through you, in your name, I believe faith is going to go forth through you, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in your word. And that storm, you're going to be able to say, peace be still, and nothing's going to harm me. Nothing's going to come my way to prosper against me. I'm going to stand upon your promises of your word. But a lot of people, they want to go to Psalms. They want to go to Proverbs. Woo, I like that. Man, I like going there. And then you get to look at Paul where he's going through there and he's calling people, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised people. And he's looking at all the things to where they've taken God's word and they're trying to turn it around to say something that it didn't say, or they're trying to put compromise into the relationship with God. I tell you what, I'm married to a redheaded woman, and there's a lot of things that she'll let me do. I can put my socks on my side of the bed, and I can sort of, as long as I keep them in a pile or something, she'll let me get by with that. But if she thinks that I'm doing something that goes beyond what's on her list of things she'll let me do, you can be sure she's going to let me know about it. And it's the same thing that we need to look at when we're living for God. There's things in his word that makes it very clear what he's looking for a bride to have a relationship with him. And when we realize that we're looking to be part of that bride, when we're looking at that it's important to please God, that he's going to be the one when it comes to time to say, you graduated. You know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Nobody else is going to. When the books are open and your life is displayed for everyone to see, is it going to be where you're looking and you say, oh, my God, Lord, I can't believe that I decided that wasn't for me just on a whim, or just because I wanted to be like some other people, or just because I just did not want to apply it in my life anymore. And when I'm talking to everyone else here, I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking for other people thinking I'm throwing rocks at people, because there's so many things in my life that came up and I've shared with people where I said, well, I did that for the wrong reason, because I did it because people told me to, you know, not because I really understood why or you know, anything like that. But then did I really get into God's word? Did I get to book the woolly worm and look through there and see if there were some scriptures and examples in there that might turn me back around to see that those were things that I was supposed to have in my life or things I wasn't supposed to have in my life? did I take the time to do that? No, because I want it to be the way my opinion is right. I want it to be the most simple. In this life, most people want to go with the flow. We don't want to stir things up. We don't want there to be a lot of resistance. But there's a few people who decide that they want to do more. They want to go to college. They want to get an education. You know, they've got the skills to maybe do something that someone else can't do, maybe be an artist or a musician or something that they can do. And so they strive and they study and they practice to do those things. And so they achieve to do more instead of just going with the flow. And I'm here to tell you today that living for God was never meant to be going with the flow. Never. Because people that go with the flow and just sort of live for God and don't apply all God's principles to their life and they don't put on the armor and they don't apply Jesus' name to their life to where they have that seal to where it knows that you are the child of the living God, you know, it's, I don't know, it's not my place to judge, and I'm not trying to judge anybody. But I would say I think it's important. Well, let's just look at the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it says. And I think that's what it's talking about. Don't sit there and say, don't start to try to rationalize things and justify things and like, oh, well, you know, that's really not that bad. You know, it's maybe a little white lie. You know, it's not meant to harm anybody or anything. You know, it's nothing bad or something like that. But anyway, I've rattled along way too much here. And I can't believe someone's not raised their hand to kind of tell me their thoughts on this, or maybe they had a scripture or something. And I know we got plenty of callers on here today. I'm going to pick on Starla. I don't even think she's up here listening. Are you there, Starla?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Well, do you have any thoughts about graduation day or some of the things that's been said? I put you on the spot here a little bit.
Well, I want to get ready. I mean, I just don't want to miss that great and wonderful day. Not that I'll miss it, but I want to be on the good side of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're not going to get to miss it. But they're like, well, I'm not going to school that day. I'm not going to graduate, so I ain't going. Yeah, I'll be that way. Yeah, what are you going to do now? Give me an empty diploma case, I'll teach you. I'm the only senior. I just won't be there. Yep, I don't think that's going to fly. Did Blog Talk Mom have more for us? I know she. I don't know if that's something she has hooked to her phone where her car horn starts honking or what, but is she back
Blog
with
Talk
us?
Blog Talk Mom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. As someone was calling through, and I didn't want it to come, you know, mess up if anyone was listening. A lot of people are in a lot of different. Like the little woolly worm, they're at a different place in their process. And after you told me what you were going to speak on tonight, and as the program began, the anointing was very close. I could feel the Spirit of God. And someone, no doubt, is listening tonight that you're really struggling, and you're. We talk about graduation day, and there's the graduation day when we face God, the books are open, and if our name is there, and we give account to God, and then there's graduation day when we're born again, what it means, that's not really the end, but that's the beginning of us taking what we've learned and applying it in our world, in our life, and in our plans. And so there may be some people that or listening that maybe you're on a sick bed and you don't feel like that you can maybe even live through the night, and that God is there, to know that God is there with you. Or maybe you're someone that's just started living for God, or yet you maybe never made that commitment to live for God. God's here for wherever you are, and he told us in his word, one of the most beautiful scriptures is found, and I'll read it in the Bible, it's Matthew 11, and it's two scriptures. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I feel the Spirit of God so strong in that, because, you know, graduation day, sometimes you're in special education. Sometimes you're just, you go because your social advancement, because there are limitations. But the Lord says, come unto him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the most beautiful poems I've ever heard, and it's very familiar to people. You see it on plaques, and it's called A Touch of the Master's Hand. And it's the story of an auctioneer that picked up a violin that was so scratched that he thought, this is really worthless. But he went ahead and he began to auction it off, and he tried to get $1, and finally someone said $1, and then $2, and he said, well, somebody give me $3 for this violin. And a gray-headed man at the back of the room came forward, and he picked up the violin, and he began to make the most beautiful music. It filled the room. It was so beautiful. And all of a sudden, I mean, would somebody give me $1,000? He said, I'll give you $2,000. And in a minute, it sold for thousands of dollars. And some recognized exactly what happened, but others were totally confused. They didn't have any idea. And the auctioneer turned to him. He said, the difference was the touch of the master's hand. And when God touches you, if you'll just let him touch your life and let him lead you, it won't be hard. It's only hard if you try to live it easy. But it's really easy if you give it 100%. And we've got a job to do to pray for these that are in the clutches of that one that came to steal, kill, and destroy, as you said, Brother Bill. And I really am enjoying the program. Now, I'll let you go ahead and finish what you wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, when it gets right down to it, you know, I know that guilt is one of those things that really can get to you. And I look at some of the things that my children go through, and I think about, well, if I'd have done this different, or I'd have done that different, or, you know. But the point is that it's over. It's past. I can't do anything about that. And, you know, you think, you know, how can I make this right? And the bottom line is you can't make those things right. I mean, it's because of perception and because of how people look at things, and you know, they may not really realize some of the struggles and storms that you were going through at that time, and they don't realize the times where you were pulling against the you know, sort of like we're talked about, you know, kicking against the pricks on the plow, you know, where it had the stobs that were set up here with limbs, and you know, when the oxen tried to kick against it, it would stick them in the back of the leg. And I've had times in my life to where I was trying to do my own thing, and I was trying to find who I wanted to be and who I was, and it was all about me in that whole process. And then there's times to where I realized that I was just spinning my wheels. I wasn't going anywhere. This life didn't really mean anything. It had no meaning without God in it. It was hopeless. It was despair. It was dark. It was evil. There was just, you know, there was some fun and there were some, you know, highlights to things that you enjoyed, and it seemed like there was good moments with my children and everything. But then, you know, there's the other part, and you know, the lack of consistency and the being wayward and being up one day and down the next. And then there was times to where you were really, you know, had your hand to the plow and you were going forward and you were not looking back, and you know, you're trying to do all the things you're supposed to do, but yet you realize your children look back at what was before. And so you want to judge yourself and you want to say, I'm sorry. And so you catch yourself all the time saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. They're sick of hearing you say you're sorry. And after a while, they don't even think you really mean it anymore. And but the bottom line is that you talk about a graduation day. When you're born again, that means you're a new person. And whether they want to accept you as a new person or not, Almighty God says you're a new person. You're new. And I will complete a work that I start. He never, ever said that he was going to leave us where we were, that he was going to start something in us that he wasn't going to finish if we allowed him to do so. And we talked last week about we're going to be that clay, that vessel on the wheel that's always being worked through this process of life, all the way up to the point we either take our last breath or when God comes back for his bride. Either way, that process is always going to be going on. Will you still make mistakes? Yes. Will you still say stupid things sometimes? Yes. Will you still do things wrong sometimes? Yes. But the difference between failing and falling is if you get back up and you keep on going again, all you've done is fall. You fail. But when you fall down and you give up, you say, well, I don't want people to think I'm a hypocrite. And I don't want people to think that, you know, this is something where God failed or something in my life because, you know, I'm down here, my knees are scuffed up, my clothes are dirty because I've fallen down. When you realize that God doesn't judge that way, that's not the way it works. When you fall, and it's like Peter when he was sinking, when you look back to God and you cry out to him, that hand is always going to come out, and it's going to pull you up to where he is. He's not going to leave you where you are. He's going to fix the things in our life. One of the things I love about living for God is he redeems the things in our life that we did wrong. It may not be in the time that we want it to be, but he is a redeemer. And I guarantee you that when we turn everything over to him in every situation, God not just can redeem it, he will redeem it. When we learn that we don't have to put our hand to it and we don't sit there and have to help God on what's going on, but when we truly turn it over to him, all of it, just give it to him and step away and get in that private place with you and God, and you turn it over to him and you leave it alone. You don't look back for it. You don't come back for it. You just pray about it every day. Lord, I've turned this over to you. When I say you forget about it, I'm not talking about you don't continue to pray for it. If you got lost loved ones or you got things in your life that you just need to work on, and you got neighbors or friends, or maybe you need a revival in your church, or maybe you need a revival in your home, you don't quit praying for those things, but you don't go to put your hand to it. You don't try to persuade someone or talk to someone or bribe someone or force someone into being the way you want them to be. You let God be God, and you be the vessel that's being worked on. And I guarantee you that it's not always going to be easy, but the end result is going to be graduation day. And, man, can you imagine graduation day when you got your diploma and you hear those words, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant, and you get to realize that now it's time to get my inheritance, that I've sort of been through the proven grounds a little bit here, and I've been through the storm, and I've been through the trials, and I've been through the flood, but I've came through it. And not just that, but in that process, I am a better person for going through those things than what I was before, because I allowed God to do the work in my life that he knew that I needed instead of me getting what I wanted. And I'm sorry, this is really a strange thing for me, because usually when I have a thought on something, I really, really prepare. And this was one of those last-minute things to where I just had this thought that just changed, and I felt like this was the direction that I needed to go, and I didn't really know why. And I really, really feel God's presence just here in such a mighty way. And it may be someone that's going to be here. It may be just for me. It's maybe that these things, because I go back and listen to these shows and go back to the archives, and it could be someone that's not even listening live right now. But if it just helps one person to stop and think about where we are and to think about the relationship that God wants us to have with him versus maybe the relationship that we are having with him, and just stop and just kind of take stock as to where we are. I really thank you for that poem there, Blog Talk Mom, because truly in the hands of the Master is the only way that I can be the vessel that's going to be pleasing to God and that I can do the work that he's calling me to do.
Amen. That's a beautiful thought, Richie. Wild Bill, I give you all these names.
Yeah, I told Russell I must have been the worst of all the kids. I was the only one that had to have an alias when I left town. So, well, did you have any? I can't believe nobody's got a communist. We're getting down to about the last 5 minutes. And I apologize if it sounds like I've been on my soapbox a little bit, but I apologize. You know, usually I have a lot of scriptures to go, you know, with the thought, and maybe it was meant for me not to have that, because sometimes I have a tendency to go down rabbit trails whenever I'm trying to follow up on it. So maybe that's why this happened like it did at the last minute. So, but I would appreciate if anyone's got any comments or any thoughts on this to share with us there. It makes me feel like I'm out here all by my lonesome, just sitting here rattling, and I definitely didn't mean to offend anybody, but I hope that everyone knows that, you know, I'm just trying to express, you know, the facts of what's going on in life, to know that God loves each and every one of us all the same. And what he'll do for one, he'll do for all of us. I think we finally did get somebody to put a hand up there, didn't we, Starla?
Well,
I think it's 2395.
Yes, 2395.
Hey, Wild Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Preston. I'm doing good, but I'm starting to heal.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you have a thought for us tonight on? I'm sorry.
I'm glad about one thing, like one night, like on Wednesday or maybe it was Sunday. I was wanting to go to church real bad, and I haven't gone for a long time. So then, and I finally got to go, and I was glad.
Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Are y'all having some real good services? Are you getting around okay?
Yeah. We are having really great services and touching God. Well, I hope at least.
Well, that's really good.
And my aunt's birthday is tomorrow.
Well, tell her we said happy birthday.
She might be a feisty one. But lots of old people go through that probably.
Yeah. Well, be sure and don't say how old she is on the air, because then we'll all be in trouble.
65.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
You're in for it now. Did you have a comment about the show topic tonight, or would you just want to help me out and talk a little bit?
Just talk a little bit.
Well, we always appreciate you calling in and being part of the show. We're coming down here to the last 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm glad to hear that you're healing. It's I can't imagine all the process what you're going through. Are they saying that after the cast you should be okay, or, you know, at the beginning you thought there might be some surgery or something? Are they still talking about that? Or?
Well, actually, if I didn't tell you yet, I got the surgery is done. Like, did I tell you that the surgery was already done on my leg?
I don't remember.
Well, they took the staples out of my weight again. Well, now I don't have to wear the cast, thank God.
Oh, well, that's good. So you had to walk around on crutches right now, or you want you still to stay off of it, or?
No, I just walk on my boot in the walker or some.
Well, that's good. So how's everything going at your house? You and your dad doing okay?
Yeah, we're trying to hang in there. And I just wheeled and dealt my Uncle Kenneth.
Yeah, your aunt's probably going to shoot you when you get off the show. You know that, don't you?
Well, she's old anyways.
Oh.
Hey.
Yes, folks, next week we're going to be hearing about the funeral that's going to be going up, where this poor young man was called his aunt old, and she decided to show him how young she really was. No, I'm just playing with you. We're getting down here to the last 90 seconds of the show. And did you have anything you wanted to share before we go off the air?
Yes. God is great, and I'm so glad he helped me throughout surgery. And if Aunt Rita tries to get me, God's going to get her.
Okay.
Even if she's old and feisty. Bye.
Well, I think I'd stand on that one for sure. So, Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else you thought before we close the show? Did you feel anything? Or?
No, when you were saying that, I thought, I used to say you're only as old as you feel, but I don't do that anymore. That's not good. But I've enjoyed it very much, Wild Bill. I feel like God had his way with the program. I miss hearing Joy Bell's voice. And I believe that Sister Kaiser was going to call, and she may be in an area where she can't get a signal. She was went to see her sister, so we'll get them next time, won't we?
That's right. Well, I do want to thank everyone that did call in and listen, and for those of you that listen on the archives, and I'm not sure how many military people we still have listening. I know there's still units deployed and you know, over in Iraq and Afghanistan, especially over in Afghanistan. And just want you guys to know we appreciate your service to our country and that you're always in our prayers. And we're just going to go ahead and end the show tonight, but I do want to thank you all for being here with us. We'll be back next week. And if you have a topic or a guest speaker or someone you think that you would like to have for us to have on the show, be sure and get in contact with us, and we'll be sure and try and get them on. God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back next week.